Welcome back to Nobody's Fault But Mine. This is Eric Lindsay, and we are on Season 2, Episode 5. And man, things are going by quickly. And this podcast today, or this episode, is going to be on basically time management and kind of figuring out what you can do to make yourself more efficient with your time. And it's going to be kind of a funny situation in the fact that I'm actually uploading this on Thursday when I typically upload every Tuesday. Took a week off last week because it was the anniversary week of my father passing. So I just wanted to kind of concentrate on that and recollection and just remembering him. And also we had a little family event and so forth. But I was supposed to upload 2 days ago. It is now, actually, no, yesterday. I was supposed to upload yesterday. And now it looks like I'm going to upload tomorrow. So I'm going to actually be 2 days late on this. So it kind of is fitting that we're talking about time management because I need to work on this myself. It sounds like it just basically got really crazy busy over the last couple of weeks. As most of you know, I've published a book in the last couple of weeks and just a lot of things going on, you know, during that time frame, along with the anniversary of my father passing and just stuff. I mean, it just, you know how it goes. Things just pile up. And I woke up Tuesday morning and I was like, wait a minute, today's Tuesday. I should have uploaded a podcast this morning and I just didn't do it. So podcast number 5 of season 2, and let's get started. I heard on YouTube video the other day a statement one time about being your own boss. You know, everybody wants to be their own boss, and that's kind of the whole entire goal of most people out there is to kind of have that entrepreneurial spirit and go out there and, you know, be the commander of your fate and your own boss and, you know, all that good stuff that goes along with it. And I've been that most of my life. And I can tell you that absolutely it's not overrated. It's something that's pretty awesome. Now, in some cases, it's not so awesome because you're the guy having to come up with payroll and taxes. And, you know, when things go wrong, you kind of have to be the one there to take the blame for it. So there's goods and bads of being your own boss, but I can definitely say the goods outweigh the bad. But in this video, it specifically talked about being the boss of your own time. And so a quote was, be the CEO of your own bank of time. I don't know, it just resonated with me because it was like, ding, ding, ding. You know, that's what I have been doing over the last 20, 25 years and my previous career, and ever since I retired 3 years ago, it just feels like I've always been fairly good at that. But I can also tell you that I have two characteristics. I'm inherently lazy in the fact that if I didn't have to do something, I wouldn't, you know, type thing. Now, again, in business and in that kind of world, I didn't necessarily have that mentality, but in my personal life, I've got to call myself out here. I'm lazy. And if I have an opportunity to not go do something and can come up with a legitimate reason why, I'm probably going to say that. The second thing about that is I'm definitely a procrastinator. I work really, really well under pressure. You know, I've just, again, established that pattern throughout my entire life, ever since I was a kid. And instead of looking at it as a weakness, I looked at it as a strength in the fact that I didn't get stressed out, you know, when things were kind of coming up to a deadline or I had something to do that for whatever reason, I was being pulled away from that situation. And I knew that, oh man, I really need to get that done, but I'm just going to have to, I guess, do it tomorrow because I just can't do it today. Well, I had this kind of innate internal procrastination clock that just kind of wound its way up. And over time, I found how to utilize that for a benefit. Actually, I look at it as an asset now in the fact that if I've only got 1, 2, 3, or 4 days to get something done, you know, I start thinking about it on that fourth day. I start kind of formulating ideas on that third day. On that second day, I'm kind of feeling the, I don't want to call it stress, but I'm just feeling the pressure like, oh, wait, I really got to get this done. And it kind of just amps me up. And in one sense, the first part of the statement was I'm inherently lazy. It kind of takes over, you know, it breaches that laziness barrier or force field around me. And the, oh, I got to get it done thing, you know, kind of kicks in. And the procrastination actually works in my favor of helping me to kind of get past that. And man, I can knock stuff out. I mean, I'm just one of those guys. I've always done that. whether it would be schoolwork or a project or something around the house or whatever it may be. I'm just always that kind of guy that at the very end, I mean, I shine in the last 8 hours, you know, that's just, I'm just pumping on all cylinders and I'm caffeined up and I'm ready to go. Let's go get this done. Now the third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day out from an event, you know, I just, I'm not really focused on it. I'm not thinking about it. I've got other things going on around me. So somebody that needs some time management, I guess, insight is probably me, and I need to work on this. So going back to the statement of being the CEO of your own bank of time, I thought that that's really cool. You control the minutes of each and every day, you know, you have to a degree. How many minutes you give yourself or towards accomplishing a goal is almost entirely dependent upon you. Now, if you're a parent of a new baby, toddler, or child up until about the age 5, throw everything I just said out the window. You are not in control. They are. There's no doubt. But if you're past that stage in life, you can be rich with time. Rich in that you control the minutes of your day. Each and every one of us have around 1,000 minutes per day, or about 16 and a half hours per day, to decide how to use them. Obviously, you're going to sleep some of that time. So if you get a normal 8 hours sleep, you've got about 16 hours of your day to do whatever you want to do. And the same video that I saw said that the minutes you have today are drastically better than the minutes you had 10 years ago. And I suppose that depends on where you are at, you know, in your world. Do you have more control of your minutes now than then? I don't know. Maybe. Or are you being better compensated for your minutes now rather than then? Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think as you continue to go up in your abilities and your compensation increases, your minutes are now worth more. Or maybe it's you're just more productive and you're more smarter in how you use those minutes now than the way you used to. You know, you just know more tricks and tools and you're just more, I don't know, sharp and educated on how to get something done. So you're much more just productive in general. You know, you can take something that used to take you an hour to get done and now you can get it done in 30 minutes. So you're just better. You're richer because you have more time. You have less time doing that task, and therefore you have more time to put on something else. Now, all those different things, only you can answer that, of course, because you know everybody's life is different. Maybe you're worse off than 10 years ago. Maybe you're experiencing something that you're not, you know, now that you're older, it's hurting your minutes. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's just your spirit in general. Well, here's some things, some tips on time management so that you can take back control and truly be the CEO of your time. Time management hacks. Now, this came out of Entrepreneur Magazine, so this has kind of been vetted through a bunch of people, and we're going to go through this really quickly. Create a morning routine. After studying the schedules of various high achievers, author Laura Vanderkam found a common thread. They have a morning routine. While these morning routines vary, they usually wake up early, exercise, read the news, eat a healthy breakfast, and tackle their most challenging task first. It goes on to say, while I'm being known for being predictably unpredictable, that's kind of hard to say, I'm always up for an adventure and love a calculated risk. I do, however, have a morning and nightly routine, says Richard Branson, you know, the guy from Virgin Atlantic and Virgin Phones and all that stuff. I find structure to start and finish the day helps me focus and achieve the things I need to do. So if you know anything about Richard Branson, he is absolutely kind of one of those forward thinkers. He's predictably unpredictable. He really does some far out, way out things. But he, as far as when it comes to his businesses and his life in general, but he's always, you know, prided himself on the fact that he's got a morning and nightly routine because that structure just helps him focus, you know, whether it's getting started in the day or at night, kind of just winding down and focus on the fact that, okay, now I got to get some sleep. So kind of some neat things. Second thing is eliminate waste. In The Ultimate Guide to Time Management, life and business strategist and bestselling author Tony Robbins suggests you treat your time the same way as you take care of your money. It's a finite resource that must be conserved. How? By eliminating waste. Robbins recommends converting wasted time into productive time. You can make your time more effective by repurposing time management dead zones. If you enjoy reading, but you don't have the time, then read during your morning commute or when in a waiting room. Or could you listen to audiobooks? Absolutely. I mean, I think that kind of goes back to the point I was making earlier. Maybe you're more productive with your time now. You're able to, you know, solve problems faster, or you have the resources to solve problems faster. I think this is a little bit further down in the list, but you know, if you have the resources to eliminate wasting your time doing a task that something or someone else could do, obviously that's a great time management, you know, hack. Number three, make knockout lists. So I'm going to kind of condense this a little bit, but Marcus Lemonis, which is a really, you know, awesome entrepreneur, I have little note cards in my closet in my basement. I'll make a list of five things I want to get done that day. Without exception, I have to get those five things done. In other words, those items on the note cards are a promise he must keep for himself. And because he writes these cards in the morning, it's an excellent way to kick off your day on your right foot. I don't make lists at the end of the day. I make lists at the beginning of the day, he said. I always have my knockout list. And then at the end of the day, when he's done with those, or throughout the day, when he's done with those things, he, you know, makes little paper airplanes at them and throws them in the trash. And it just kind of gives this just physical representation that, okay, I've done this thing. These are the things I need to concentrate on. Now I'm moving on to bigger and better things. Now, this next one's very timely in the fact that Elon Musk just kind of got in trouble a few months ago when he took over Twitter and talked about, you know, we're not going to have unnecessary meetings and things like that. Number four, avoid meetings. So Mark Cuban has famously said, the only way you're going to get me to a meeting is if you're writing me a check. Elon Musk, in a company-wide Tesla email, asked employees to forego excessive meetings because they are a blight on large companies. He said the exact same thing when he took over Twitter. Oprah Winfrey avoids them unless absolutely necessary. Meetings are a serious productivity killer that prevents you from completing your work. Instead, Cuban and Winfrey prefer detailed emails. Slack and, you know, other productivity apps and so forth can also work really well. But when you do have to schedule a meeting, keep the headcount light, have a strict agenda, and keep them as short as possible. Number five, don't check your email today. This is a really interesting one in the fact that, you know, today's culture is you've got to be right on top of things. You've got to be sharp. I mean, you got to be ultra responsive. And obviously, in some cases, this is not going to work for you if you're a customer service, focused company or in a position that you have to reply to things. It used to feel like email was sucking up most of my day. Because of this, I became obsessed with the idea of inbox zero. Even with tools like SaneBox, shortening my messages and simply limiting myself to responding, deleting and archiving an email was still a time-consuming effort. Then I followed an email management technique called YesterBox. Now, this was coined by Tony Heise. The premise is that you don't try to tackle your inbox at once. Instead, you only respond to a list of messages from the day before. Unless urgent, the rule is that you never respond to any of the emails you actually received today. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've tried that, but I think all of us unconsciously have tried this. There's just emails we're just, you know, I'm not going to deal with it today. I don't have the mindset to deal with it today. Or I just don't have the time. And so, yes, it's there, but I'm just not going to open it, you know, and I'm going to come back tomorrow. So I think all of us have practiced this, obviously, throughout our careers. But, you know, actively making it a plan to say, okay, I'm not touching my email today. I'm only going to answer yesterday's emails. You know, I don't know. It might not be for everybody. I don't think it would be for me, but, you know, maybe for you. Number six, schedule dead space. You're probably tempted to book every minute of your calendar. However, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates beg to differ. Both men have said that the secret to their success in time management is filling their calendars with plenty of blank spaces. Adding a few vacancies lends flexibility to the schedules to handle any unforeseen circumstances that may arise. More importantly, it gives a person the time to focus on their passions and control their time. As Buffett said, I mean, I can buy anything I want, but I can't buy time. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. And I would tell you that as I've gotten older, and I just, you know, my stamina and mental capacity and things like that is maybe not as sharp as it used to be, as spry as it used to be. It is nice to kind of stop for a second and just, you know, go outside, go grab a cup of coffee, whatever, and just kind of not think about something for a second. I can definitely, you know, it's almost like just giving yourself, you take physical breaks. Well, you need to give yourself a mental break sometimes. And I think that that's okay. And so filling it with something, whether it's dead time or maybe something else that just kind of fires off different receptors in your brains, you know, for creativity or something like that rather than analytics, I think that that's definitely something that we all could probably be better at and just take the timer. Not thinking about anything, I think, would actually be pretty healthy. So am I advocating siestas? Absolutely. You got my yes vote. Number 7, reduce decision fatigue. As the day goes on, the quality of your decisions deteriorates. That's why successful people are known for reducing the number of decisions they make in a day. As a result, they shave off a couple of minutes from unproductive tasks. What's more, they have more mental space throughout the day. Former President Barack Obama achieved this by limiting his outfits. You'll see I only wear gray or blue suits. I'm trying to pare down decisions. I don't want to make decisions about what I'm eating or wearing because I have too many other decisions to make. I've heard several people, very highly successful people, say this over their years, is the fact that they just try to kind of pare down just decisions, just menial, quote unquote, decisions, like what they wear, what they eat, you know, how are they going to get to work? All those different things that can, they can either A, automate it or make it kind of go on cruise control to where they're not having to put any thought process into what shirt am I going to wear today. I can also see where this has helped out in the fact that over my past, that if I lay out my outfit or whatever I'm going to wear the next day, if I get it out the night before, again, it's just, I'm thinking about it in quote unquote my off hours. So when I'm up and I'm having to really kind of get prepared for the day and kind of build myself up in the thought process of, hey, this is what I've got to go do, that's just one less decision I have to make. And it's made really, I practice this a lot. So number 8, gamify your to-do lists. I've enjoyed gamifying my to-do lists. Jack Kreutzinger, the co-founder and CEO of SeatGeek, told CNBC, I have an estimated number of minutes for all the tasks I have and have written software to record when I begin and end each item. Each day, I challenge myself to hit an efficiency goal, the number of actual minutes divided by expected minutes. The best part of playing a game by myself is that I have every spot on the leaderboard. So, you know, he just plays a game. How fast can I get this done? Maybe that's what you got to do. I don't know, but maybe that would work. 9, staff up. And this kind of goes back to something I said earlier. I know that as an entrepreneur, you want to do everything by yourself, but this isn't just stressful. It's also incredibly time consuming. Other human beings are the way I scale time efficiency, says Gary Vaynerchuk, CEO of VaynerMedia. Having others fill in doing the tasks that must be done has allowed him to focus on his professional and personal priorities. I have 2 assistants. I have somebody who follows me around and films me. I have a full-time health coach, which means he's overseeing my nutrition and working out. He's 100% on my schedule. He's even considering hiring a full-time driver instead of waiting for a ride as his time becomes more valuable. So again, completely agree with that. Either make yourself more efficient at what you're doing, or obviously when your time is worth X, maybe it's, you know, has a value associated. Maybe you bill by the hour, maybe, you know, all those different things. And maybe there are certain things, obviously, you can only do, but then taking those things that somebody else could do, letting them handle those things and let you concentrate on your passion, on what you're an expert at, or what you absolutely need to be doing to lead your company or your family or whatever situation you're in and making those decisions. Number 10, varying your commute times. And so this, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically it's, you know, you already know kind of how much time it's going to take you to get to work, especially like, okay, if I leave at 7 because of rush hour, blah, 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 I'll get there by 8. Well, is there another solution for that? You know, could you leave a little later and then your commute is only 30 minutes rather than 45 minutes? Or can you work from home on certain days of the week versus driving into work? The issue with this, and I think everybody's kind of especially gone through this during the pandemic and how everybody kind of went home and worked from home. And now we're trying to get everybody back to work in the office, or everybody else is, I'm not, is we kind of took liberties with that extra time. And it wasn't necessarily that we were being more valuable to our workplace or to the product that we were on. You know, if it was your own company, it was, I can sleep in a little bit more, or I can enjoy my coffee a little longer. I can take that siesta, in the evening time, whatever that you need. You know, you can make up all these things to where, as long as you're not letting this time that you save turn into wasted time, okay, it makes sense. Now, as we've gone through all these other things, maybe you need to have some dead time. Maybe you need to, avoid meetings. Maybe you need to do all this other stuff. All that stuff goes into each one of these characteristics, and the fact that, well, maybe sleeping in an extra 15 minutes, or maybe having that extra 15 minutes to drink your coffee in the morning rather than having to get in a car and drive across town is your downtime. And maybe you can make that very effective. So number 11, get lazy. I like this one. Brace yourself. This is going to sound bonkers, but some successful and productive people can be lazy. I personally am a bit lazy. This is that person saying that, but I am too. I use this to my advantage. Being a semi-procrastinator has taught me the quickest ways to do the hardest things in life. Everything from optimizing writing blog posts to finding the quickest route on my way home from work so I'm not late to pick up the kiddo. I'm not saying being lazy or procrastinating everything. If you don't try new ways to do things, you won't improve yourself to the fullest ability. So me and the author, man, we're on the same page, because I've kind of already said all that. Number 12, don't get distracted by your ego. Speaking engagements and interviews are excellent ways to spread brand awareness and showcase your expertise. But when they're benefiting your company by helping you reach goals, they're time-consuming distractions. I don't think I understand that. Speaking engagements and interviews are excellent ways to spread brand awareness and showcase your expertise. But when they're benefiting your company by helping you reach goals, they're time-consuming distractions. I don't understand that statement. I think that's both things are good. Take, for example, Lee Iacocca. He was a great entrepreneur who took Chrysler from near bankruptcy to outperforming the market nearly 3-1. However, the CEO got distracted. He spent most of his time appearing on late-night talk shows and doing commercials. He even toyed around with running for president. Guess what happened next? Chrysler fell behind its competitors. So maybe this is why this... Okay. Speaking engagements and interviews... We're going to keep going this because I can't stop until I figure this out. Speaking engagements and interviews are an excellent way to spread brand awareness and showcase your expertise. But when they're benefiting your company... I just don't understand that statement. They are benefiting your company. Maybe it's supposed to say they're not benefiting your company, or they're benefiting the competition, maybe. I think it's maybe a typo. All right, Eric Lindsay, you're getting caught up by a typo. So, obviously, yes, I agree with that statement. If you're doing stuff all the time and, you think you're benefiting your company, your employer, what you're doing, but in reality, it's not, it's just kind of taking your eye off the ball and you're falling behind as far as innovation and pushing the envelope down, from your company's perspective, overseeing it. Yes, it can really get in your way. So, okay, I agree with that. So I'm going to reread all those one more time just to be, because that's just what I do. Time management hacks. 1, create a morning routine. 2, eliminate waste. 3, make knockout lists. 4, avoid meetings. 5, don't check your email today. 6, schedule dead space. 7, reduce decision fatigue. 8, gamify your to-do lists. 9, staff up. 10, vary your commute times. 11, get lazy, my favorite one. And 12, don't get distracted by your ego. So guys, that is some tips. I hope that they help you. I hope I'm going to adopt some of these, because remember, you are the CEO of your own bank of time. If you want to be your own boss, boss your time around first. And I think you would be really surprised what you get done on a day-to-day basis. I have already started doing, I don't want to say most of these things, but some of these things. And I have noticed that my day is more productive. My day is very it's kind of all over the map. I mean, obviously launching the book and doing the podcast and doing construction and working on cars and just all the other 50 million things that I do throughout the day. You know, in order for me to be productive, I do have to kind of say, okay, this bank of time, you know, this hour or 2 hours or whatever it may be is established for this, is set aside for that subject, and then this subject, and then this subject, then you have to eat, and then you got to give yourself some time to kind of relax and just ponder the moment, and then, you know, running errands. I mean, there's just, you have to kind of, I don't know, have a schedule. And for a guy that doesn't like schedules, that's very kind of seat of the pants, it is hard. It's difficult, but I can't admit that it has helped me just be more productive. And at the end of the day, when you're looking back on the day and you're saying, okay, what did I get done today? There's definitely days that I feel like I haven't got anything done. I've done a lot of stuff, but in, you know, the actual completion or that, gratifying feeling that, ooh, okay, now I'm past that. A lot of times just doesn't exist because these are projects that are, you know, in motion. They're still continuing to turn, and there's really not a completion. You know, it's just okay, we just got what this has to happen today, and this is where we're going to start tomorrow, you know, type thing. But there definitely is some truth in the fact that scheduling your day out and taking some of these tips can definitely help your productivity. And I hope they help yours. So guys, for nobody's fault but mine, this is Eric Lindsay. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. God bless. Take care. Woo. A lot was said today. I hope some of it helps. And thank you for everything that you do, because you are a absolutely wonderful, talented, beautiful human being that has so much potential in life, that has so much good inside. And maybe some of these time management hacks can help you spread that good throughout the world, you know, can give you that extra time to talk to that neighbor or that friend or that coworker, or do something, you know, to help the human condition, the human race, your fellow man. Time management is key to this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for what you do. And we'll see you next week. Take care.